welcome to another edition of the Scarlet Nation podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. I'm Chris Akonis, joined by Bobby Darin as we recap a big Rutgers postseason win, 31-24. The Scarlet Knights taking down Miami at the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium this afternoon. Scarlet Knights controlling the run game. I think that was the big thing on offense. Defense, really held firm down the stretch, and the Scarlet Knights able to come away with a pretty big postseason win. First postseason bowl win for head coach Greg Schiano since he came back to the Scarlet Knights. And Bobby, you were on hand at Yankee Stadium, providing coverage for Scarlet Nation. Just what were your overall takeaways from this game and just from everything about this?
A lot of good takeaways from it. First off, the running game, again, just kind of steadied the entire offense. The entire team had dictated the flow from the beginning. Kyle Menungai was his usual brilliant self. 163 yards rushing and some runs. He was just running through people, finding openings. He was really clicking. And I also thought it was very promising that you saw Sam Brown kind of return to form. He had two 11-yard runs early, and he looked like the Sam Brown that we were accustomed to seeing last year prior to his injury. He never seemed like he was fully back this year, but he did today. And I think looking ahead, you have Kyle Menungai and Sam Brown coming back next year. You don't have to see Kyle run as many times. You can flip-flop those guys. And, once again, I think the ground game will steady the team, but it is a very promising sign for the future. They also had a solid job of blocking from that offensive front. You bring a lot of those guys back, too. So I think those are the two things that I saw initially that really stood out. Very promising. Like I said, the passing game, it is what you expect it to be. I think we could save the whole quarterback issue for another podcast in itself. Gavin Wimpson didn't lose the game for him today, didn't make any mistakes. And Greg Schiano said afterward he was confident that, if they could get a couple takeaways, they could win relying on that type of game plan. And it really came to fruition, Chris.
Yeah, and I just to go back to your point about the run game, got the stats up here now. 25 carries, 163 yards, and a touchdown for Kyle Menungai. Sam Brown, 10 carries for 38 yards. And if Rutgers can really lean on both of those guys in the run game next season, Bobby, you touched on it. In addition to just having two good backs, obviously better than having one key guy. But also, one thing I've noticed, and I'm sure you have as well, Kyle Menungai, Sam Brown, two good running backs, but different styles. Sam Brown's, a bigger, more, size-heavy running back. Kyle Menungai's, more of a low center gravity type of guy, but they can both run, and they bring different elements to this run game. And I think that, if Rutgers can have that going into next year, I think that's something that the Scarlet Knights can really use to their advantage and make this run game potentially even better.
Yeah, and Chris, they both are pounders, too. I mean, they can inflict some damage. And when defensive players have to tackle them the whole game, they get tired. They don't want to do it by the end of the game because, they're taking a beating just tackling these guys because they're so physical. And I think that is kind of what Rutgers wants to do offensively, but their identity is just kind of ground and pound. But, you're going to have to mix up some passing in there. And like I said, we'll get into that in another one. But, today the running backs really stood out. And I also thought that Rutgers got some good showings from some younger players. But we were really seeing play extensively for the first time. You saw Abram Wright grab an interception, Fama Ture catch a pass. You saw Bo Mesko playing a lot. He looks like he's in line to be the third corner next year. Al-Shadi Salam's still a cornerback. He could be in that two deep there and play a rotational spot. I thought Eric Rogers did a very solid job in his first start at cornerback for Rutgers. Started 11 games in Northern Illinois, but he's the guy that's going to take over that Max Melton spot. So you saw a bunch of young guys really in there. Zaire Angoy is another one who's been playing well down the stretch. And he was in on the fourth play from scrimmage, on Miami's fourth play offensively. So you're seeing a lot of these younger guys coming along. And with the return of a lot of older guys, it's very promising for the future. And I know Miami had some guys that left for the NFL and their quarterback transferred, but they still beat Miami. That has some marquee value.
Yeah, especially with, the recruiting classes that Mario Cristobal is bringing into Miami. That program, by all indications, seems to be on an upward trajectory, even though the result obviously didn't go the Hurricanes' way. And also, I'm sure, and we saw some of this in the message boards during the game thread, Bobby, Rutgers fans who were around for those early Big East days remember what it used to be like to play Miami and how lopsided those games used to be. Granted, that those Miami teams were a little bit better than this Miami team, but still, Rutgers hadn't beaten Miami before today. I'm sure that obviously added a little bit too as well. So that I think makes it a more intriguing matchup than, say, if Rutgers had played Georgia Tech or Boston College.
Great point. And they've never beaten Miami. That's a first. And, on the way to gaining more and more prominence, you have to get over those firsts. You beat a team like that that you've never been able to beat before. And, Greg Schiano very excited after the win and put a lot of work and effort into it and starting to see the results. It was a good game for Rutgers fans to go to and enjoy. It was loud at the stadium. They did a really good job of drowning out Miami fans. They represented really well. It was a good day for Rutgers football.
I was going to say, Bobby, and we were talking about this a little bit, but one of the benefits of having a bowl game in your backyard is you can have that large fan contingent. Rutgers was able to, I think, take advantage. I mean, watching at home, it certainly felt like Rutgers had a bit of a home field advantage. And I'm sure you got that sense, too, as well, just, sitting in the press box, no?
And it's an open-air press box, which is not very common. So, sitting there, you could feel the energy and you could hear the crowd and you're out there with them. So it was a really good showing by Rutgers fans. They were into it. They were loud. And, it was just a really good win. And I thought it was fitting, and I said this to Greg after the game, the way that they actually turned the momentum on a punt block, because Greg Schiano is notorious for dialing up punt blocks. That goes back to his first tenure. And then he dials one up at such an opportune time, and he has two walk-ons combined for the block and the touchdown. It was like vintage Schiano, and it just came at a great time. It flipped the whole script in the game, and I think that was the biggest key to victory there, and another special teams play on the punt block from Rutgers.
I was going to say, Bobby, that leads me to my next point, was, we talk about momentum and how important it is in college football. That was as much of a momentum-shifting play as I think you could have asked for in that moment if you're Rutgers, because up to that point, it felt like, Miami was going to really take control of the game. Rutgers couldn't get a stop on the previous couple drives before that one. Miami, was coming back after Rutgers got off to a really strong start, and you almost wonder, beyond just the 7 points, how much of a factor that was in Rutgers just sort of taking control down the stretch, really wearing down Miami. It really felt like if you had to pinpoint one moment of the game, that was it in terms of why Rutgers was able to come away with the win.
Yeah, and it really was, because at the time they were reeling. Miami came in with 17 unanswered. And before that, you also have to go back to Flynn Appleby, kicked a 39-yard punt. You look and say, it's a 39-yard punt, but he put them at the 7-yard line, and that kind of put Miami's backs against the wall a little bit and helped force that 3-and-out for Rutgers. So, hats off to him. I know he coming off a season where coming off multiple seasons where Rutgers fans were able to rely on Adam Corsack just doing his thing. Appleby is obviously no Corsack, and he's had some struggles this year, but, that was a key play in the game, and I think you saw contributions like that from up and down the lineup today, and, special teams, again, coming up big. Greg Schiano preaches special teams. You've been to practice. You've seen how much they work on it. He takes a pivotal role in coaching special teams. He's hands-on with that. So it's something he really takes pride in, and, you can see the work they put in paid off.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely vintage Schiano, as you mentioned, Bobby. And, I think that was, obviously a key moment in the game. Another point I wanted to touch on, just going back to the offense for a minute, watching that game, Bobby, it sort of felt reminiscent of the early season, performances that Rutgers was able to put up. I'm talking about games like Virginia Tech and Northwestern, both of whom went on to play bowl games, by the way. Rutgers – dominant run game. Scarlet Knights finished with over 200 rushing yards, 208 on 45 carries as a team. You know, time of possession, Rutgers held the ball for 34 minutes, 26 seconds. That's towards the high end of what Rutgers has been able to do. It really felt like Rutgers was, for the most part, able to implement Kirk Chiarka's vision of what this offense should look like when things are clicking. And it felt like Rutgers was able to make that happen. And that's how you saw Rutgers, you know, end with a total of 31 points.
Yeah, hey, Chris, I think you also saw it was reminiscent of what we saw earlier in the season, is that the offense got stronger as the game went on. Kyle Manungai was just wearing that team down, and the offense was getting a push, and the defense was coming up with plays. I know that last drive where Miami scored the close within a touchdown, they kind of laid back a little bit. It was, looked like a little bit of that old prevent defense, and they did get a couple calls that were real questionable down there, a pass interference calls and what have you. But, you know, I thought the team, you know, got it together and finished strong. And there was also that benefit of being able to rest a lot of these guys who were banged up at the end of the year for the previous few weeks. And you can see a lot of those guys were fresher today.
Yeah, definitely. And you saw a bit more of that early season Rutgers that we had seen, you know, the Big Ten schedule, how it can wear any team down, really. And I think you saw a more refreshed Rutgers. I think that definitely played a factor, you know, in Rutgers showing an improved showing from, you know, how they looked at the end of the regular season against Maryland. But Scarlet Knights, 31-24 final in the Pinstripe Bowl. Now Scarlet Knights will take this win and a 7-6 record into the offseason. And the Scarlet Knights look to build on this, bringing back most of the defense, most of the key contributors from last year's team. Of course, transfer portal and stuff still in flux. We don't have a full picture of what things will look like heading into spring ball. But Bobby, just to close, a lot of positive momentum around this Rutgers team. And then this bowl game, I think, will play a part in sort of setting the tone heading into this offseason.
Yeah, good finish. And you know, it's been since 2014 since Rutgers won a bowl game. And to go into the offseason with a winning record and that momentum. And let's not forget, even in some of those losses, you know, you're seeing a Rutgers team that's playing with Ohio State, beating Ohio State in the second half, you know, giving it to Michigan through the third quarter, you know, keeping Iowa such a close game towards the end. So we're seeing a transition here. Even in the losses, there are steps being made and progress being shown. If they can just get that offense together and start to have a passing game click, you know, it could really be exciting next year, Chris.
Yeah, definitely a lot of optimism heading into the offseason for the Scarlet Knights, who come away with this Pinstripe Bowl win. First win in a bowl game since the Quick Lane Bowl in 2014 when the Scarlet Knights finished 8-5 in their first season in the Big Ten. But that'll do it for us here on the Scarlet Nation podcast. For my co-host Bobby Darin, this is Chris Acona saying thanks for listening. As a reminder, you can always get the latest Rutgers football and basketball news here at ScarletNation.com. You can also interact with me, Bobby, Brian, and everyone else over at the 24/7 VIP message boards. So definitely head over there. We'll be providing all the insight, analysis, and scoops that we can. And we've got plenty of stuff coming up as basketball now gets into the thick of Big Ten play. A lot of recruiting stuff always going on. Transfer portal. You won't want to miss any of it. ScarletNation.com is your place for that. And this has been the 24/7 Sports Network Scarlet Nation podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next time.